It's kind of funny, and you've probably seen a lot of these memes that are on the internet where it's like, I'm an introvert and they're just enjoying their quarantine time during COVID, and the extroverts are going crazy. I think that's a really good case in point that demonstrates some of the stereotypes that people have. Speaking from my own personal experience, I've found this quarantine to be really challenging because you are really isolated, and human beings are social beings, and it's tough. So when we're thinking about introversion, extroversion, it's really a continuum. So the idea that people are introvert or extrovert is kind of a false dichotomy. If you think of what a normal bell curve looks like, your more introverted people will fall on the left, extroverted on the right. Most people are actually in the middle. You might call them an ambivert. They're kind of a little bit of both. So even though, for example, I am generally more introverted, I enjoy the more quiet times, hanging out with fewer people, those kinds of things. But there are certain contexts where I'm very extroverted, with close friends, when I'm teaching in the classroom. So it's kind of context specific, where we can fluctuate in terms of how introverted or extroverted our behavior can be. So if we think about kind of the foundation of where like bias or mistreatment comes from, we're really looking at stereotypes. And the stereotypes are coming from this context that kind of developed over time. If you think back maybe the 1800s or so, the kind of characteristics that people appreciated were more of those quiet characteristics of integrity and morality. And then we shifted with the Industrial Revolution, urbanization, all these changes that happened, changed the kind of characteristics that were valued. So this is thought to be kind of a contributing factor that might have led to this kind of change in the kind of personalities, you could say, that we value at this time point. So if you're thinking about extroverted characteristics as defined academically as someone who's more sociable, they're more assertive, more dominant. Those really work out well in that kind of time period where everything's growing so quickly. So it created this environment where those kind of characteristics are valued. And if you're more quiet, reserved, you're not as dominant, you end up kind of belonging to this, it's kind of a social minority. And when you're in the social minority, what can come along with that is stigmatization. And so we end up with some stereotypes that kind of stem from this change in the context and the environment, where once someone categorizes another person as, oh, well, you're an extrovert, you're an introvert, they start to take these cognitive shortcuts just because humans like to make things easier. It's just what we do. So say I categorize you as an introvert, and then I start to attach some characteristics to that. Sometimes stereotypes have a kernel of truth, but a lot of times they don't. So in this case, some of the stereotypes associated with someone who's been categorized as an introvert is you're unfriendly, you're cold, you don't like talking to people, you're not going to do well in a team or as a leader, etc. So if you think about a lot of those are quite obvious as issues for the workplace. So for example, if I'm categorized as being an introvert who's unfriendly, who doesn't like people, someone might assume that I'm a really ineffective teacher, right? And that's not good because that could impact evaluations that I get. It could impact, merit, tenure, all those different things. And the same idea in different kinds of workplaces. If people are assuming because you're introverted that you're not going to be a good leader, which is not necessarily true, you're going to miss out on a lot of opportunities, which could impact your salary, your career trajectory, etc.
One of the more obvious things, of course, if your job is sales and you're a very introverted person, people are saying, well, you're not an effective salesperson because you're too quiet. And so from that standpoint, it's kind of a fair response.
That was a really interesting perspective that was brought up pretty early on in the development of this paper, where when I would present it, and people would say something along the lines of, well, aren't there certain situations where if you're introverted, this negative behavior that you're receiving is kind of justified? So it's the same idea. Like, what I've been talking about so far is really reflecting the bias-driven mistreatment part, which we can think about in a similar way to other forms of discrimination. But you're right, there's definitely, you really have to think about the context and the environment in which we work, because there are certainly types of jobs and environments where different types of people will thrive. So for someone who's more introverted, it's best to have them in a kind of job or position that really fits their strengths.
Is it possible that is in particular, I guess, in Minnesota and in our community, that extroverts are also, to an extent, on this continuum of people making assumptions about who they are and what they may or may not be good at that maybe aren't justified?
One of the goals that I have with this paper is essentially knowledge. If people are given more knowledge about, well, this is what extroversion really is, this is what introversion is and how we're different, our strengths and weaknesses, taking that kind of information can be really powerful, because the more that you know about your colleagues and the more you understand them, the better that you can work together and be successful.
How can supervisors, how can people who want to employ these tests in order to build a better team, are there ways that they can either present the results or take the results or interpret the results in such a way that it becomes positive across the board?
That's a good question. Like, my gut instinct is just don't use them. Like, for instance, if you're thinking of something like the MBTI, which I think is really popular, what's interesting with that one is it puts people as either E or I. There's not really anything in between, even though that's where most people really are. So that's another instance of where these tests can kind of box people in. So if you get the result, I'm E and I'm I, and that's all I'm ever going to be all the time, that can be kind of limiting and not necessarily very helpful.
How can we do a better job of dismantling some of these stereotypes, whether we have them about the extrovert in the office, the introvert in the office, whoever we have in the office?
So it's really thinking about people as individuals more so than people as belonging to a group. For example, if your colleague just doesn't like raising their hand or shouting out in a meeting, it's good to have other options. If you want to email in your suggestions to your manager or whoever, that's a great option. A lot of people are better at expressing their ideas than writing. So that's something that could be used. There's a lot of conversation about diversity and inclusion going on right now. It's the same kind of idea. We're not focusing on you belong to XYZ group. You're an individual person with your own strengths and weaknesses, and we really want to work with that.